Much for being here. You may be seated. We certainly look forward to greeting you after this service. My hallelujah belongs to you. 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 You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. 'Cause all of the glory, to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory, it belongs to you, and all of the glory belongs to you. For the past 11 weeks, we have been on a journey, a spiritual journey of mind renewal. From Romans chapter 12 has been our anchor verse that we've used. Just for a refresher, the last 2 weeks that I preached before I was out, we talked about the power of our desires. And we're trying to get a handle on how what I really want in life, good or bad, has a way of manifesting itself in my life. And I have to be careful about what I desire, because if I desire the wrong thing and don't recognize it's the wrong thing, I have a great potential of putting in place things in my life or bringing to bear things that on the final analysis, when I evaluate them, I will see that they are not profitable to my spiritual being. However, because of the influence of my carnal flesh, I'm inclined to desire some things that are not always right. Amen. And you got to be able to monitor yourself with that. And we're going to talk about some of that today. And then we talked about our expectations. What are you expecting? What are you really looking for as it relates to your ability to execute the will of God? Do you expect yourself to do it well? Are you expecting you to be able to do the commandments of God in a consistent way? Or are you already giving yourself license to compromise because you've said to yourself, well, I just can't do that. I'm just not like that. Or I'm not able, or you know how I am. See, all of those are ideologies that are giving us permission to violate the word of God, whether we realize it or not. Our expectation for spiritual fidelity is sometimes so low that it's so easy for us to hop in and out of faithfulness, in and out of spiritual fidelity, in and out of being obedient. We can do it at the drop of a hat, and it doesn't seem to bother us. That's the dangerous part. We do it without feeling bad about having done it. And the reason why we don't feel bad about it is because it has become comfortably a part of how we live. It's a part of how we live. I heard Brother Rose this morning in Ephesians 4. I say, Holy Ghost, look how you're working today. Yeah, I say, look how you're working today. He was in Ephesians 4, and I've done a whole series on that 18 through 21 before. Great stuff in there. This morning, I want to talk about who's leading you. I want to talk about who's actually directing you. I'm going to clarify that in just a minute. I just want you to think about the fact that we're being led is not by somebody, it's by you. But which part of you? Okay. Which part of you? And I'm going to clarify that in just a minute, is leading you. Listen, one of the challenges of mind renewal is this. It's our inability to recognize when our body, the flesh, is in charge versus when our spirit, mind, is in charge. Now, close observation will help you to see that I am making a distinction between the body as though the body can lead, and yes, our bodies have the ability to have a mind of its own when we don't recognize it. Our spirit, the thinking part of us, we unconsciously, because of the way we have lived for so long, find ourselves at a place to where we don't even have to think about what we do. We just do it. Okay? You don't believe that. If you drive to work every day, you drive on a course, you generally take the same route. You go the same direction. And sometimes you are completely unaware of going from point A to point B. You just know you got there. Who was driving? Now, you was driving, but you wasn't engaged. You're thinking about this, you're thinking about that, you got this on your mind. You was driving, but it wasn't your active mind that was really engaged. You was driving based on the body's familiarity with what you know has to be done, and it allowed you to check out, so to speak, of having to really pay attention, and you went through the motions of getting there, most times without even recognizing. Most of the time, we behave or respond in life to our life without thinking about the response. We respond so many times with no thought to what our response is because we're responding based on a known pattern of experiences. Therefore, we don't look at what we are responding to and how we're responding. We go through the response with little or no consideration because it's so familiar to us. Because we've responded that way for so long we've done it like this. We don't even have to think. There's no thought goes into it. We just react. Our bodies just react the way we have trained it to react with absolutely no thought on our part. Now, this is where we have allowed the flesh to run us because we don't evaluate or study our behavior. And since we don't study what we're about to do, we've done it before we give thought to it. And it's generally after we have done it, the response, that we think about, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. But you don't consider why you said it without thinking. You was on auto response. We just go with the flow. We go with what we are familiar with. Everybody with me? The flow. What are we familiar with? How are we responding? We're going with the flow. And you can't stop that flow. You can't stop the natural flow without being able to observe or see yourself in order to stop yourself. You can't stop your automatic responses because you've learned them well over the years without being able to observe you. If you don't take some time and think about why is it that when this happened, I do that without thought. Why? Why am I doing that? If you don't look at it, if you don't observe you, if you don't evaluate you, Brother Winston, J.S. Winston used to say, you need to know thyself. It was one of his favorite phrases, know yourself. And see, most folk don't know themselves well enough to be able to identify when they are on autopilot and when they are actually engaged in doing the decision. And so, because of this, without believing that is possible for you to change your response or renewing your mind. See, until you are able to see you in action as an observer, if you could see yourself and take a look at yourself, you wouldn't like what you see sometimes. But we don't look at ourselves like that. That's too painful to look at where I am. Look at how I'm acting. And then if you don't believe that it's possible for you to change your response. See, we've been responding like this so many times. Well, you know how I am. You know, well, you shouldn't have done. See, we're making all of the excuses for not changing our response. Therefore, we don't have to evaluate whether or not it was spiritual or not because it's on automatic pilot and we don't want to do anything to change the writing in our brain. We don't want to change the way we have learned how to respond, though we know it's contrary to the will of God. And the fight that we have is when the natural response is to go this way, and now we're trying to hold it, but we haven't dealt with it, but until it shows up. You can't wait till you're in the moment to fix all responses. That's too late. You got to work on you when ain't nothing going on. So that when something happens, you got a reference point to pull back on to say, you know, we talked about this self. You know, we talked about when this come up, what we gonna do, right? You can't stop the flow without knowing how you should respond in the situation. You see, what should be different in the way I naturally respond when I'm in the flow? I know it's wrong, but what's right? What's the right way? What do I need to be doing with this response? When this happens, when my environment like this that I can't control comes up, what do I need to do? I know what I feel like doing. Got that one down. I know what I'm trained to do. Got that one down. But what do I need to do? You got to know how to respond. That's where the knowing of the word of God comes in. You got to not only know the word of God, but have made a decision that you are going to exhibit the word of God in every area of your life without compromise. See, until you decide that you're going to bring you into submission to the word of God without any compromise, then you are leaving the door open for you to can stay in your flow. And it's easy to stay in your flow. You can't stop the flow without allowing the Spirit of God that's in you to lead, take the front center lead and guide you. You know, walking in the Spirit, walking by faith. All of that is our relinquishing of our right to run our lives in lieu of allowing the holiness of God to take charge in my life. That is a decision that you have to make. We respond then on autopilot when we feel mistreated. Somebody does us wrong, and don't let it be an "I ain't done nothing." No, let it be an "I haven't done anything." I know the bit, right? You know, but "I ain't done nothing" sound better. Okay, don't let it be "I haven't done anything" and we've been mistreated. We have an automatic response for what we fall on when we're mistreated, because we have done it so many times that your body knows how you want to operate when you've been mistreated. We feel it. And when our feelings are there, there is an automatic response tied to the feelings that we have. And before we can even think about it, we're here. We're already in it. Because it ain't the first time we've been mistreated. We got a program for that. And we execute it quickly. Mistreat program, here it is. The body goes automatically. Facial expressions change. Our pulse goes up. All kind of stuff start happening because we've been mistreated. We go on autopilot when we feel disrespected. Don't you know who I am? You are not respecting me. You gonna respect me, you hear me? We feel disrespected. And we got a program for that. And that program starts operating as soon as disrespect starts coming our way. Before we can even give in conscious thought, subconsciously, we are already in action. Everybody with me? We on autopilot. When we feel lonely. We feel like there's nobody to identify and can't identify with us. And there are people around us, but they are not connected to us. And that loneliness puts a program in play. And we know how we start to respond with that program, because loneliness brings us to a point to where we start seeing ourselves as being unlovable, seeing ourselves as being unloved, seeing ourselves as not being appreciated. And we run a program. And with no conscious thought, our disposition changes almost immediately. We're on autopilot when we feel frustrated. And it doesn't make sense to us. And we can't understand why. Why it's so difficult for folk to understand it. It ought not be that hard. They ought to be able to see A plus B equals C, or 1 plus 2 equals 3. And that ain't too hard. And when it ain't that way, we get frustrated. And we got a program for that. And we run that program. And we don't even think. We're not consciously running the program. It's on autopilot. Am I helping anybody? When we feel sad, we got a program. Life ain't fair. Life is not treating me right. It just looks like everything is coming against me. When I've lost somebody that's close to me, or I lose something that's important to me, and we start running the program for our sadness, and we do it without a thought, autopilot. It is subconsciously programmed into our existence. Why? Because we've dealt with the feeling so many times and we've responded the same way so often that we don't even have to think about how to respond. Now the body responds for you. And you just go along with it. You're on autopilot when you feel unappreciated. Boy, that's a big one. Don't nobody appreciate what I bring to the table. They don't see that it's because what I do. They don't understand what I'm doing. You're feeling unappreciated and you run a program. And that program causes you to look at the folk around you with suspect and disdain because they don't seem to value you. And we run a program. We put it on autopilot. You don't even think about how to respond. You start feeling that way, and before you know it, all of the moves that go along with it, all the circumstances that go along with it, you readapt those feelings and those circumstances because you are running a familiar program. Even consider where you are right now because you're on autopilot. God and his way is not even on the board right now because you're dealing with a familiar feeling. When we feel angry, Lord have mercy, you're an autopilot. Oh, you ain't doing me. I ain't going out like that. You don't know, oh yeah, you ready? Because we're going to throw it out. What happened? You're running a familiar program. And you're doing it without thinking. That's why we can brawl so quickly. That's why folk that's supposed to, quote, know the Lord can fight. Now, I ain't talking about, I'm talking about fight. Oh, I've seen folk get close to ready to go. Then they come to themselves because they was running a program. Everybody with me? And that program takes you before you even think about it where you get to that point. See, all of these responses are on autopilot. And what we're having to do, church, is we're having to learn how to observe what we are thinking so that we can start to reprogram our thoughts. That's when the body's accustomed design and your desire starts really conflicting. Until then, there's no conflict. There is no conflict when you feel mistreated. You just go with the flow. Then you repent later. Ain't no conflict when you feel disrespected or lonely. You just go with the flow, and after when the dust settles, you just repent. When you feel frustrated and sad and unappreciated, you don't go through no struggle with that feeling. You go with the flow, and when it's over with, then you get it right. And when you get angry, you say what's on your mind, and you put them in check, and then you apologize. But there was no spiritual conflict. You did exactly what you wanted to do. Because the body was in charge. Am I helping anybody? Okay. Then what we have to understand is which self is actually leading you. The old you or the new you? Either the old you is leading or the new you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, all things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, how do you run the new program? You got to make sure that the spirit is leading the body versus the body leading the spirit. Everybody with me? Lest you think I'm just philosophizing, I need to give you some scriptures, okay? Now, Ephesians 4:22, from the NIV. Listen to what Paul says. You were taught, now first of all, you need to understand that before you can actually rewrite programs that you've been executing for a long time, you got to be taught. If there is no teaching, no learning, if you don't figure out how to do this and why you need to do it, you will never change. You must be taught. So Paul says, you've been taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self. What's the old self? The old self is the programming that you have been operating under since you've been born. It's so entrenched in you, you don't even have to use a brain cell. Your body knows. And you're not fighting, giving any resistance at all, because you still haven't understood that being in location in the house of God and being in Christ spiritually is two different things. And there are a lot of folk who up in here that don't know God. They don't know his spirit. If he tapped them on the shoulder, they wouldn't know who that was. Because they never demonstrated and disciplined themselves to remove old programming. But when you take the old out, remember I talked to you about the spirit, when you clean out that house, if you don't put in something else, that programming will come back stronger. You've been taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. Watch this. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now let me help you with something. Every person in here has a part of them that ain't no good. It ain't no good. Ain't nothing good about it. And it's in you. And all of us have a part of us that's desirous of deceitful stuff, pervasive stuff. Because once you have known sin, you never unlearn it. Once you know how to lie, you don't ever forget how to lie. You just choose not to lie. You know, you just make the decision, you know. So, but you got to understand, you and I have a part of us that's former. But the former way of living doesn't die easy. You have to be very intentional and deliberate in doing that. He says in verse 23, to be made new, this old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful lust. And by the way, that is an active phrase which says it is an ongoing thing that's going on with your body and you got to deal with it all the time. And I don't care who you are, it won't leave you alone. But to be made new in the attitude, where is it made new? You're made new in the attitude of your minds. It's in the attitude of your minds. Your newness starts when you change your mind about how you behave. And until you change your mind, you will never change your body's programming. It's in the attitude of your minds. And that's why being so undisciplined mentally, I know you're struggling spiritually because you don't have any discipline in your life. No discipline. No mental discipline. You cannot execute the perfect will of God without work. Work. You can't be lazy spiritually and grow spiritually. Too many weeds from your old self will choke out the word in your life if you're not diligent at reprogramming your responses. Everybody with me? That happens in the attitude of your mind. That's why mind renewal. See, when Paul is writing in Romans 12, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, the assumption is that the work has gone in to do that. We read that and we ain't done nothing different. Well, we ain't renewed anything yet. And watch this. And to put on the new self. You got to put a new program in place. Created to be like who? Like who? You got to have a desire to be like our Father, which is totally contradictory of what we are accustomed to being like. The new self has to be created. You got to create it.
You have to create this in you to be like God in true right, in true righteousness, not looking good. True holiness, not looking good, but being good. And you know it at the core of your being because you have, through a lot of work, prayer, and diligence, you've rewritten the program and auto responses that you have been so accustomed to doing all your life. You one by one are putting them to bed, one at a time. One at a time. You can't rewrite the whole program all at once. It's too. You got more responses for stuff you can't even think about until it comes up. But as it comes up, you need to see, make note of it, and start the reprogram. And I got to teach how to do that. We're not on that today, but you got to learn how to do that. Everybody with me? So which self are you denying? Now, here's one of the issues with spirituality. God's way feels like you're losing. Somebody does you wrong, you love your enemy. Wait a minute now. They did me wrong. And you asking me to do them right. Ain't nothing fair about that. And I don't feel good about that at all. In fact, I feel like I'm losing. And since I'm losing, I don't like to lose now. So I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist the spiritual urge to do what God says because a part of me feels a loss to do it. Now, let me help you with something you got to understand. In order for the new self to grow, the old self has lose in order for the new self to win. There is no winning of the new unless the part of you in the old loses. You gotta be okay with the old self losing. Instead of you thinking you lost, no, which part of you lost? Was it the old or the new? Something has to be lost every time. Is it old or new? Which self are you denying? Listen. Jesus said this in Luke 9. Listen. And he said unto them, all of them. Now, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny what? Which self? Which self? See, if any man come to Jesus, you got to deny a part of you to follow him. If you don't deny a part of you, you will never follow him. But there is no loss. The loss of you is a gain of the other you. If you don't lose this part of you, you cannot gain that part. So the old has to be lost in order for the new to take hold. So you are not losing at all. You winning, but it don't feel like a victory. And the reason why it doesn't feel like a victory is because it's going against the old program. It's going against that old way of doing.
But you got to see and understand that I must deny the old so I can embrace my new self. And you'll never become the new self without denying the old self. Everybody with me? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Which self? The old self. Everybody got a part of them. You got to give it up. And it's entrenched with old programming. And so every time you get ready to, you got to fight you. But you didn't lose if the new self won. I don't care what it looked like. You didn't lose if the new self won. Watch this. And take up his cross how often? In other words, you got to deal with you, old and new self, every single day. And if you are not paying attention every single day, before you know it, you'll fall back into your old programming. Because you ain't paying attention. You don't even realize when it started running it, when you got angry. For whosoever, now watch this, will save his life. Which life? Which life are you saving? You're trying to save the old programming. Isn't it interesting how we resist naturally doing what God says? And we don't know why. We know it's right. It just doesn't feel right. And the reason why it doesn't feel right is because we hadn't been running that program long. You ain't been running that one long. And so you have to rewire the programming on the new enough times to where when you get angry, it selects the new program automatically. Then it doesn't feel strange. That's just how you do business now. New. You just do business new. So if you're trying to save that old programming, you're going to lose your life. But whosoever will lose his life, which life? Which life? The old life. Everybody, which life? You got to lose it. If you're willing to lose that old way of doing business, watch this, for my sake. For my sake. Because I hung on the cross for you. Because I sent my son to die for you. Because I made it possible for you to live with me from now on. So are you willing to rewrite the program for me? For me, the same will save it. Because you lost that part of you that was on autopilot. And you don't even have to think about disregarding the word of God. It just happens without a thought. Everybody with me? So which life, then, are you saving? And we work hard to save ourselves. Are you saving the old life? Or are you saving the new life? Everybody with me? You saving one of them. I heard a story one time about a man who fought dogs, bulldogs. And he would always make a promise, say, you know, I don't care which dog you pick, you know, the dog I have will always win. You see all my dogs, you pick one. It don't matter which dog you pick. And so a man came and saw this dog fighting. The dog was tearing up everybody. Said, I'm going to pick this dog. This dog going to win next week. He come back, and then the owner has a dog, tear that dog up. And he said, man, and he did that 2-3, and I lost all his money betting against the man with his dog. He said, look, tell me why. Why is it that every dog you pick wins? He said, well, I know it's going to win because that's the only one I feed. That's the only one I feed. So your dog, he ain't fed. Everybody with me? So which one are you feeding? Are you feeding the old self? Or are you feeding the new self? Because whichever one you're feeding, that's the one that dominates. In your life, it dominates. So, which nature then is on your mind? The old nature or the new? Everybody see this? It's been in the scripture all the whole time. We just hadn't looked at it like this. Okay? It's been there. Look at Romans 8. After, and if I had time, I'd take you through verse 1. I don't have time. I take you back to chapter 7 and show you how Paul is why. Verse 25 of chapter 7 sets the stage for what he's getting ready to do. In fact, I think I'm going to read that. Romans chapter 7 and the last verse. Listen to what he says. After he goes through this thing, you know, when I want to do good, he was always present. You know, I find in me a law, you know, that when I want to do good, he goes through all of that analogy. Then he says in verse number 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, watch this, I myself serve the law of God. How do you serve God? With your mind. With your mind. He says, but with the what? The body, what does it serve? It is programmed automatically to continue to do what it has known how to do since you've been teaching it. So you have to decide. If you don't make the decision with your mind to serve God's law, your body will reign. It will be thinking for you. Everybody with me? Okay, I'm going to stop there. But listen to Romans 5:8-5. Listen. In NIV, those who live according to the sinful nature. Now, when you allow the old programming to dominate your daily affairs. Okay, let me help you with some. You're driving down the street, and you're driving like you're supposed to drive, and somebody cuts you off. You're on autopilot. What comes up? Do you do sign language? Hey! God bless you. Okay. Or do you have something else you do? It comes out automatic. Now, you don't give much thought to that. Boom! There it goes. We scream, we do whatever we do, and we do it consistently because it's on autopilot. Everybody with me? Those who live according to their sinful nature then have their mind set on what that nature desires. Now, let me help you with that. You are not intentionally setting your mind to serve sin. You've just been programmed that way for so long, and you haven't done anything to change the programming. You just can't come to church and change the programming. You just can't go down the watery grave and get the holiness of God and keep running the same program. You are responsible and accountable for rewriting the program, for renewing your mind. God doesn't renew it for you. That would be nice if he just zapped us all and we just be good old angels and we didn't think no more wrong and we didn't do no more wrong. And when everybody did us wrong, we just say, I'm going to pray for you and put a smile on our face. And we, I mean, that would be just so nice, right? Then we wouldn't have free will. And God gave us free will because he wants us to want to serve him. Those who live according to sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Now, I talked to you about desire a couple of weeks ago, and you need to understand that either the spiritual desires that you get from following God and meditating on him will permeate in your body and dominate, or if you don't put those in, then your other desires, your natural desires, will always rule. Always. Always. And it won't change until you change. And nobody can stand up before God and say, well, Lord, I just didn't know. You got to give an account of keeping the old nature in you running your life. You might have a spurt of good here and there, but by far, you're running the old program. Everybody with me? But those who live in accordance with the holiness of God, the Spirit that dwells in you, you got to learn how to live with him. You got to learn how to fellowship with him. You got to learn how to love what he loves. You got to learn how to desire what he desires for you. Every good and perfect gift comes down. Not only does it come down from above, but it is in your best interest. And you need to understand that God never asks anything of us that is not ultimately for our well-being. It just doesn't feel like it because the old self is selfish. The old nature is accustomed to getting its way. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their what? Minds set on what the what? Now, is that not intentional? That ain't accidental right there. You have to intentionally and deliberately have a desire for what God desires for you. And you got to have that desire long enough, and it has to be strong enough that it starts to reprogram in you. And you start writing over the old self until that new self is all you got left. The mind of sinful man, of the old self, is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Peace. When you know you're in his will and you know you're walking according to his ways, it doesn't matter what's going on outside of you, because you know that you're in his will. You are at peace. that surpasses all understanding. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And finally, church, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, you need to do what? The lesson is yours. It is my prayer that as we study, listen, I want you to understand something. I want you to get this. I really do. I'm asked, how long are you going to do this? I don't know. Because I keep learning stuff. And I'm trying to figure out how to communicate it. As long as it takes for me to get to the end is how long I'm going to do it. Our souls are at stake. You don't want to take a chance of having ever made a great effort to really be a child of God because you never knew how. You're putting your body in the right places, but you haven't dealt with your mind yet. And this is where the battle is. Your body will let you go someplace and still run that old programming. And you're just sitting right on up in church before you get out the parking lot. You done run that old program. I mean, that's real. We are here to learn how to become the children that belong to God. And that looks like something. And don't you worry about the folk that don't want to look like the children of God. You just make sure you look like one of his children. Amen? So if you're here this morning, the Spirit of God is convicting you of your life that you need convicting in, I pray as a child of God, you have the courage to start responding to the holiness of God. That old nature, it wears us out. But God has a remedy for it. It's your desire plus his help gives you the strength to overcome anything. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God in you can do anything when you want to. If you're not a member of the body of Christ and this stuff sounds foreign, I want you to know that God has a way for you. It starts first with you surrendering and recognizing that you can't do this without him. You can't live like this without him. Now, I'm going to tell you that right now. With all our old programming, you can't rewrite it without the help of the Lord and your desire. Amen? How do you get that help? You come by hearing the good news that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you're willing to repent of your sins, change your mind about running that old program over and over and over again, confess him as Lord. He is the Lord of my life. Surrender to baptism for the remission of your sins. and he'll add you to the body. And we ain't a perfect body, but we in the perfect place. And he saves in the place. You can't get this salvation outside of the place. So whatever your desire, whatever your needs, I pray that you would come right now. Come right now while we stand and sing. Won't you come right now? Won't you come right now?
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. You know that storm
clouds.
Oh, and the strong winds may blow.
God bless you for coming. Won't you come?
But I tell the world, I tell them where.
God bless you for coming. Won't you come?
Tell.